Well, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, good whatever it is when you're finding us, whether you're with us live on our Sunday morning UK time Facebook stream, or whether you are joining us in our podcast or on YouTube or on Instagram or on our lovely turningtowards.life website, whether you've stumbled across us by accident or maybe you found your way to us through our wider Third Space community or whatever. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here for the 218th time for our Turning Towards Life conversation, and you are all so welcome to be here. And we had a brief, our first in our 4 years of doing this, Lizzie, our first interruption in the weekly flow of being able to get this out, but here we are, we're back again. And we're going to do this morning what we have done every time for the previous 217 conversations, is spend about half an hour together and start off with this wonderful source that you've brought us, Lizzie, and we'll read it and then we'll see what conversation unfolds from it. And I know I'm saying that for you and me, Lizzie, but I'm also saying this for everyone who's with us, which is you're part of this conversation too. We're so glad that you're here and in it with us. And if you want to participate in the conversation in words, then you can come and join our Facebook group. Just search for Turning Towards Life and ask to join, or you can comment in Instagram, or you can email us at hello@turningtowards.life.
Thanks, Justin. So here we are, and I was reflecting, Justin, that we haven't had a break until last week, and it was because I was unwell. But the funny thing for me is that I had a baby, and when I had a baby, I had a baby on a Wednesday, so I had enough time to pull myself together for the Sunday. So it's like a throat infection got us in the end, but a baby didn't. It's so funny, isn't it? It's so crazy. Anyway, this poem, so I'm sure you know, Justin, that Robert Bly passed away recently, and so this seemed to me just a piece of his work that speaks to like this life well lived question, which kind of pokes its very quiet head around my door kind of periodically, of reviewing what, you know, what are we doing, what is this? Is this my life? Is this what my life is intended for? And I found this so beautiful, that the way that he said it. And it also moved me because when I watch, I've never met Robert Bly, but read lots of his poetry and watched him read things and speak. And I really feel in receipt of his contribution to the world. And I'm not sure there's a way I could say he hasn't made an extremely significant contribution. And so I'm feeling, you know, like with most of the people that we have that are the authors of our sources, it feels like there's so much support and leadership and people finding their way that is ahead of us, that we can take advantage of and feel gifted by. And I think Robert Bly is one of those people. And so this, in a way, is a small honouring of him at the same time as obviously just being in the conversation we're going to be in, which is the same thing. Like, it's an honouring thing probably for his work to have people reflect on it. And I think that's part of the deep intention of his work, is to be a teacher and to lead us somewhere. So this is Robert Bly's poem, He Wanted to Live His Life Over. What? You want to live your life over again? Well, I suppose, yes. That time in Grand Rapids, my life as I lived it was a series of shynesses. Being bolder, what good would that do? I'd open my door again. I felt abashed, you see. Now I'd go out and say, all right, I'll go with you to Alaska. Just opening the door from inside would have altered me a little. I'm too shy. And so a bolder life is what you want. We could begin now. Just walk with me down to the river. I'll pretend this boat is my life. I'll climb in.
Thanks, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it again. And just before I read it, I'll say, you can find the source in all the places that I said before. We always post it with audio and video recordings of this conversation. And this is He Wanted to Live His Life Over by Robert Bly. What? You want to live your life over again? Well, I suppose, yes. That time in Grand Rapids, my life, as I lived it, was a series of shynesses. Being bolder, what good would that do? I'd open my door again. I felt abashed, you see. Now I'd go out and I'd say, all right, I'll go with you to Alaska. Just opening the door from inside would have altered me a little. I'm too shy. And so, a bolder life. Is that what you want? We could begin now. Just walk with me down to the river. I'll pretend this boat is my life. I'll climb in.
Thanks, Justin. Oh, as you're reading, there's so many things that arise for me. Like I can feel a wish in me, a part of me that arises that, yes, I'd want to do it all again. Yes, I'd make different choices. And though I think the gift of this for me is I can feel that and let that feeling be born in the present of how I want to live now, because I can feel that. Because I can feel that there are occasions when I could have been more present or kind or generous or feisty or bold. And there's something beautiful in that kind of, I don't know if it's a regret, that sounds too strong a word, but like that quality of review that comes up. And you think, oh yeah, I could have made different choices. And knowing that that's possible about looking back, how do I let that inform the way that I am now? Feels like a really big question. And the way that this poem leads me is to also, you know, it's another way of letting it in that a life is going to be over. That's just true. That my life isn't what I've hypnotized myself into believing, that, oh, this is never going to end and it's really long. And it may be, but it will end. And I think it's a kind of continual, I know that when I really let that land, which isn't every day, but I would in some way like it to be, it's like a sharp intake of breath of like, oh, it is going to end. Something is going to end this. And therefore, what am I doing now? And that's where this poem threw me into when I first read it. And as you were reading, I could feel as well. I'd open my door again. I'd go out and say, all right, I'll go with you. And I think it's such a beautiful train, invitation to the train that always keeps coming. Because it does. Something is always there to say yes to, whether it's the sunshine or a tree or a person or an offer or a cup of tea. There is always something that we could say, yeah, all right, I'll go with you. And I'm just really glad of the reminder that this benevolence is always here.
So lovely hearing what you have to say, Lizzie, and I'm with you about the about all of it. Particularly what touched me as you were speaking was the remembering it's going to end.
Mm.
And there's something in this writing from Robert Bly that, you know, when you read something and something sort of goes inside out because you read it, something ends up the other way up from how you thought it was going to be. Because you're right, so that's partly what's happening for me with this poem. And I think that it's got something to do with the way, with what this implies about the nature of time.
Mm.
Because the wish that any of us might have that we would live our life over because we could see that maybe we might have responded differently. We might have found something in us that was just even a little more open to what was here. We might have held back from our lives a little bit less from feeling ashamed or feeling afraid or something. I have that wish, of course. And I realize in hearing you speak and hearing Robert Bly speak that it implies something about time, which is a complete fantasy, which is that time is a thing that you can have. I could have, like, the moment I start wishing that and I start comparing my life as it's been with, and the way I've been in it, with how I wish I would be, I would have been as if I could have done it differently. I'm already starting to imagine that I can sort of reach in and take time and sort of, because that's not possible, because that's not what time is.
Yeah.
Time is something that we are on the inside of, or you could even say it's something that we are. The idea of reliving something is both tender and real, and might be the door to something that, of course, is what's in this poem. But in and of itself, it's a trap, because who even knows what time is, but the time that was is no longer here, and I'm here.
Mm.
Finding it hard to really give really good language to this. It's why I think this line at the end is so radical and brilliant and true and necessary. I'll pretend this boat is my life and I'll climb in. We don't have the luxury of reliving the life that has been so far. And anyway, used to know what that life would have been had we found ourselves with the door a little bit more open at that point. There is absolutely no knowing what that would have meant. But the longing, which I think is a longing for now, I think it's a long, when we long to have been different in the past, I think what we're really longing for is a way of meeting our lives right here. Because even the wish that we'd meet, that we would have met the past differently than we did at the time, is a wish from the one who is now about how I might relate to my life. And so what happens if we start to see that the move that we can make is to climb into our lives? At every moment, we're climbing into our lives. And the question is, how will I climb in? Given that I'm one who longs for all the things I find myself longing for right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, Justin, about this question, how will I climb into my life? And somehow I'm feeling like, oh, if I climb in a way to the center of my life now, the decisions about what I should and shouldn't be doing take care of themselves, because the how had already taken care of itself. If I step in boldly, the things that will happen because I stepped in boldly are the things that will happen because I stepped in boldly. If I don't step in, the things that will happen because of how I didn't step in. So I'm feeling this connection with my way of moving through the world and how that brings about happenings. It's not like I need to determine the happenings. It's like this feeling of, if I step in a way that I intend, maybe the happenings take care of themselves, and that's not really that's not within my power in some way to determine. But what is in my power is how I come to things. So when you say to me, you want to come to Alaska, it's not really about Alaska, it's just how I am with you in that moment and what I say yes to right there, that then the trajectory of that is what the happenings will unfold to be. So then the impact that has on me is that life feels like much less like a massive set of overwhelming questions or options, and more like something that's right here, as you were saying, that I can take small steps of intentional, this is how I would like to be here. I would like to be bold. So if I would like to be bold, let's try that and see what outcome that has, rather than trying to focus on the things I could achieve, or the things I could have, or the things I could be in the world, like labels that I could think of. So I'm feeling an invitation to trust that, and to keep trusting that, and to see where it leads, rather than necessarily plotting a course for how to get from A to B. But what if my way of being and relating will be the determining something that has my life be one that seems like mine?
Something so vast in what you're saying now, Lizzie, because to draw attention to us not being things and our lives not being things, where the point is, where it's even possible to sort of manipulate our lives like we would build Lego bricks into a thing, or where we might reach in and move things around so that objects were organized in exactly the right way, is completely understandable that we understand life that way, because our wider culture is a really thing-oriented culture.
Yeah.
When you get that thing, which might be a kind of status or a kind of resource or a kind of person that you're in relationship with, or a kind of fame or a kind of house, or all of which have value to them. But when we are, I think that most of us swim in a culture that says that's what life is, rather than life is an unfolding, very, very mysterious process, and we are unfolding very, very mysterious processes, and everything and is in relationship to everyone else. And then, which I think is much more accurate. And when we see that, it seems to me that that's what I'm getting invited into, reminded of in our conversation from hearing you speak and from hearing Robert Bly. It becomes apparent that trying to control our lives in that way is never going to work out. In fact, it's exactly trying to control our lives, I think, that ends up with the situation that's in this poem, which is, because I know this one, about feeling abashed. If I don't, you know, if I hold myself back, and if I keep myself controlled, and if I don't say yes too quickly, and if I make sure I never get ashamed or embarrassed or something, then somehow I'll be in control of how my life goes. But there is this other way that you're talking about, which is more connected with the essential goodness that we are and the essential wholeness that we are, where we can say the question really is, what way will I say yes to life, the life that's here? And there are lots and lots of different ways to say yes to the life that's coming through us all the time. In fact, all of our attempts to say no are inevitably saying yes also, because right, as long as we're alive, we're still in it. Right? So there are all ways of participating. And one of the things that one of the characteristics that we have, like you said, is that we have choice we can make about intention, about the way in which we choose to bring ourselves to whatever's coming through us and whatever's around us. And it really struck me from your speaking that, you know, the past is really weird. We don't really have the past. We have some memories of the past. We have whatever we carry with us by way of recollection of the past, remembering the past, but it's not the past itself. It's something that's here now that's been made by everything that's happened. And so even the way that we work with our recollections, of the way that we respond to our recollections of the past, is part of how we're choosing to say yes to the life that's flowing through us. And the past, so the past isn't a thing that you can grasp, and the future isn't a thing that you can grasp, even though the past and the future, I think, are actual. Stuff happened and stuff will happen. So the place that leaves me is, I think, one of the things that it seems to me that Robert Bly is saying very, very strongly, which is that no matter what, we're still left moment to moment with, even if we're really different, I'm a really different person to the person I was when I was 5 and when I was 13 and when I was 20, so many ways, even there's a line that connects all of us, I'm still left with this choice about how will I bring myself to each successive occurrence inside and outside me. And that can't be taken away. That's always mine. Nobody else can make it for me. It's always mine. And that's ultimately the gift of being conscious, is that that's the one choice that we have in every moment.
Yeah. Oh God, Justin, I feel like really thrown into, as you're talking about time in this way, and that the past isn't a thing, the future isn't a thing. If they're not things, the present isn't a thing. I kind of know that one, but I don't know about the other two. You know what I mean? Sometimes I thing them. I don't know what the word is for making something into a thing, but like I thing, you thing, we thing, I'm thinging them. But as I de-thing them, I feel like I'm being catapulted into this invitation you're making to wonder into, oh, so the past has made me, like it's all contributed to where I am right now, which feels really true. And like I am definitely shaped by life having happened to me, and me participating in life the way that I did and have done. And then I start thinking, my goodness, I think I'm also being shaped by whatever the future is when I de-thing it, as in like I'm not feeling the fixedness of the future or something, but it does exist. I can feel it. There are things calling to me that I don't know what they are because they're not identifiable. But there's, when you were speaking, I suddenly felt like I can't say I'm shaped by the past if I can't say I'm shaped by the future. Like they're both of the same nature. And so then I'm feeling this kind of grand permission to say yes to things that seem essentially connected to what those feelings are, that are very kind of ethereal and mysterious. And that I can have faith if I just say yes to the things that might feel like crazy, or they might not. But there's a kind of sense of the things that I can say yes to Like, it's given me permission to say yes to the things that aren't in view to obviously say yes to. Like, I could follow a something that I don't really understand or don't know, because maybe that's one of the qualities of the unthinged future, the mysterious life that is already shaping me that I don't know what it is yet, because my body hasn't been in that moment, but that moment is to come. And it might not come, but even if it doesn't come in this body, it's still existence. I mean, this is the thing about time. It makes me discombobulated and thrown. I feel thrown into like realms of, don't really know what this is, but it feels like life. Like when I de-thing time, when you said, you know, what if we are time? If I de-objectify, I don't know what the word for, I don't know. It's like the language also like completely eludes me. But if I unthing time as well, and I imagine I am time, you are time, that it's not a thing that we have or that we control or we use well or something, suddenly these realms of like, oh my God, what is it to be alive, suddenly feel very, very open. And somehow this faith arises in me of life itself is a non-linear, deeply, profoundly non-linear process of invitation or something. So I'm feeling kind of brought apart. Like these conversations are often that the structures that have really embedded in me somehow get creaked loose, and I can't really rely on the things I thought were true anymore. And so then what feels like the realm that this takes me to?
One of the ways we make time into a thing, I think, is to imagine it like a line on which, you know, you could draw on a piece of paper, and we do this with time all the time and go, this happened then, this is what's going to happen here. And it's quite useful for certain kinds of planning activities to have time be that, and has us think about things, but it's not what time is. It's not a line with markings on it, and somehow the ones that are in the ahead of us are sort of marching down the line towards us somehow. Which is why I'm left with a wish for my own life, something I'd really like to do, an invitation in response to our conversation, Robert Bly's poem. I'd really like to go and find a boat on a river and climb in and feel the way that is my life.
Yeah.
Because I think if we let ourselves find a way along a river in all the ways that the river will carry us, and all the, we can't know what's coming, and that we can't, thinking, it's not like I can go, well, when I reach that corner at exactly that moment, I'm going to put the oar into the water at this angle, and
it's not how
it goes. And so there's something very actual in Robert Bly's invitation that we could take up, which is to step into this metaphor that's not really a metaphor, and to feel what our lives might feel like from the by being on the inside of the boat, looking at, feeling what it's like to be on the inside of our lives. Because I think that's the thing, when we thingify everything, that we lose the feel of what it's like to be on the inside, the one who's on the inside of time, and the one who's on the inside of our lives, the one who's on the inside of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe by the time we speak next time, I found a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Let you know what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's so beautiful to be here, and I can feel myself in this thrown place in a deep, say, sense of kind of wondering what an anything is at all kind of feeling. So I'm really grateful to Robert Bly for his invitations, hundreds of invitations that he's made in his life, thousands probably. And also to ask for just, even when we can't find the language, to try and have a go. It just feels really important to be that, to be attending to the things that are not obvious. Seems really important to me. So thank you, Justin, for being that kind of person that can do that. And as you said, we'll be back next week, and maybe by then you'll have a boat. We can talk about your boat. And everyone, thank you for joining us again. And we will be back next Sunday with another source. And just thank you for being with us, listening to us, and being part of the conversation.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye.